You are Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my absent co-host, Chris Thornton. You can find him at Misto Christopho. I've gone a couple episodes without him now, but he should be back next week. Just been busy getting back to work, everything like that. But he's ready to come back next week, so I'm sure you'll hear his pretty voice soon. As for now, we're going to be recapping a couple of moves the Jaguars have signed. After the big Nick Foles signing, everyone knows all about that. They went quiet for a day or so after that. They introduced Foles. I went to his presser. Comes off as a really poised guy. Got to talk to him about, you know, it being a team game. You could tell everyone's ecstatic about him being here. Doug Marrone was, there's a gif going around of him just kind of staring off, and then he makes eye contact with someone and lets out a huge smile and a couple thumbs up. You can tell he's really excited by this. But anyway, we're going to move past talking about Nick Foles and talk about the players the Jaguars have signed in the past 24 hours. They've signed three offensive players. I want to lead off with, I don't think any of these guys move the needle at their respective positions too much in terms of stopping the Jaguars from drafting this same position with a high pick. That first one that came through is former Cowboys tight end Jeff Swaim. And then after that, this morning, they announced the signings of Cedric Ogbuehi, former right tackle and first-round pick for the Cincinnati Bengals, and former third-round pick wide receiver for the Kansas City Chiefs, Chris Conley. Of these three signings, I believe Conley will make the most immediate impact. I believe he will compete to and most likely start at receiver for this team. He was at times the number two receiver in Kansas City, but there was always a ton of talent around him. Most recently, Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins took the 1-2 spots, but Conley had a heavy rotation. This past year in Kansas City, he had 34 receptions for 334 yards, 5 touchdowns, the most touchdowns in his career. So he put up decent production with Patrick Mahomes in at quarterback, went on to the free agent market. I'm curious to see what type of deal he signs. I'm sure it'll be more of a prove it deal, but maybe they'll add a little bit of length onto it. He comes in with great size, 6'2", 213 pounds when he was measured in at the combine. A lot of length. He's got a lot of athleticism as well. I'm pulling up his mock draftable web right now. He jumped off the charts at the NFL Combine. He had great speed. His 45-inch vertical jump, which is in the 99th percentile, is tied for the largest vertical jump in NFL Combine history. His 139th-inch broad jump is also in the 99th percentile, tied for third in NFL Combine history. 4.35 40-yard dash is ranked 91st percentile among NFL receivers. So while there's not a ton of production to back up his career, there's certainly enough to take a flyer on him. The athleticism as well is something that had to have caught the Jaguars' eyes, because when you look last year at their second-round pick, DJ Chark, you see a lot of the same stuff. You see a similar size at 6'2 and 7'8", 199 pounds. A lot of speed there at 4.34. Chark also had some pretty solid jumps as well. A vertical jump of 40 inches, a broad of 129. So they're definitely comparable players when it comes to measurements and athleticism. That's pretty important. Shows that they're trying to, you know, create a new mold for what they want at receiver to balance the smaller guys that they've got, like Dede Westbrook, Marquise Lee. But at the same time, these guys provide excellent length, athleticism, and explosion for their size. So definitely get excited about the Conley signing. I believe he is going to be one of the starters this upcoming year. He'll certainly compete for it. We'll just have to see exactly what type of role he lands. He could be probably the number two / number three, depending on how DJ Chark comes along, but I think Dede Westbrook will still hold the number one. As for the other signings, Cedric Ogbuehi, if I pronounce it right, he comes in at 6'5", 300-some pounds. So he fits what the Jaguars seem to want when it comes to size at the offensive tackle position. Never really been that great of a player. You ask just about anyone from Cincinnati Bengals Twitter, and they're going to tell you that Like, he was like the worst of the worst when it came to the tackle position. Real bust of a former first round pick, but I don't think that this is something that Jaguars fans should get upset by, because at the end of the day, he's most likely a depth signing. He did not play much this past year in Cincinnati. I don't think that he's going to compete to start. I think he's insurance if the Jaguars can't draft a right tackle to compete with Will Richardson at the spot they want to. I don't think he even makes the team, quite honestly, at this point. He allowed 82 pressures in the past 3 years with Cincinnati for this past year, and he didn't even start. He only played, I think, one game with 54 snaps at left tackle. He's played a good mix of left and right tackle. I'm sure he'll probably slide in at right tackle position, but not someone I expect to see here come September. As for Jeff Swaim, he is 27 years old, been in the league for a little bit. Not much career production whatsoever. 35 receptions, 336 yards, and a touchdown. Most of that came in 2018, with 26 receptions for 242 yards and a touchdown there after Jason Witten had retired. Swaim came in to replace Witten when he had retired, as well as, I mean, that came out of the blue. The Cowboys didn't really know what to do at tight end, and they threw Swaim in there. He's definitely more of a blocking tight end, which is good. That's something the Jaguars like, and I think that'll give him a shot to make the roster come training camp in the preseason. But I don't think this would stop them from drafting a tight end early whatsoever, because he's not the type of, dynamic tight end playmaking guy that they probably want to go and get for Nick Foles, as he had that in Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, and Trey Burton up in Philadelphia. But he started 9 games in 2018, suffered a broken bone in his wrist in week 11. He missed the rest of the season. So something to remember, because the Jaguars do want their players to be available. But a guy that should come in and compete as a blocking tight end. And I think this should just about do it for the Jaguars free agent signings. They needed to go just add some bodies. They got a really talented player in Chris Conley, which I'm excited about. But the rest of these guys, we're going to wait and see how they compete. When we come back, I'm taking some questions from Twitter about these signings and what they could mean for the Jaguars draft process. All right, so let's go ahead and get to the questions from Twitter. Collected a couple of good ones reacting to these signings today of Jeff Swaim, Chris Conley, and Cedric Ogbuehi. I believe I'm pronouncing that right. I'm still a work in progress. But first, coming from It's Javal, how does Jeff Swaim affect the chances of re-signing James O'Shaughnessy? So I figured the Jaguars would try and bring him back because he's been pretty reliable for the most part. He's played in 30 of 32 games over the past 2 years. Been a, short field guy that can block. I'm honestly a little surprised that they didn't bring him back, and I'm wondering if maybe O'Shaughnessy wanted to test somewhere else, but so far he hasn't had any traction on the market. I still think there's a chance that he could come back. I'm surprised it just hasn't happened yet, but we'll just have to see. I'm sure they have a plan for tight end in the draft as well, but they should have as many bodies in that room as they can right now, just from the true lack of talent that they have there. So we'll see. It would probably be good for them to have someone that's got some familiarity here on the roster. Coming from Mark Hodges, following up on Swaim. Jeff Swaim looks like a great blocker with decent check down ability. Think his signing indicates we might like the trade down and snag Noah Fant option more than draft Hockenson at 7. So I'm curious, because I think Fant's got the ability to block, but it's not put together necessarily. And I'm not sure if the Jaguars want to work on a project blocker. I think they want their guys to know how to block first and foremost. At least that's what it's always seemed like with this regime. They want to add a playmaker for sure, but I think they value that, sixth lineman in a sense, where Hockenson makes a lot more sense. Now, if they have the opportunity to trade down because a defender or a quarterback falls and they're not planning on taking QB at that time, then maybe, if you have the opportunity to move back to like 10 to 12, that range, and still take Hockenson and land a second day two pick, then I think that'd make a ton of sense. I think Fant would be great, and if that's what they want to do, if they want to add a true big slot guy and work on his blocking, that'd be great, because he's got insane athleticism. He compares well to Evan Engram with the Giants, but I mean, he's purely a receiving tight end at this point in his career. So we'll just have to see exactly if they want to change the tight end position up a good amount, then I think that'd make a lot more sense. But I'll believe that when I see it, because I wanted them to do that for years and they still haven't. They still have the same tight ends coach, Ron Middleton, that they hired 6 years ago. So just something to keep in mind. From Teal Tomahawk, so is it guaranteed offensive tackle at seven then, or still hope for a tight end? I wouldn't guarantee anything yet. Except I'm like 99% sure there's no way they'd go defense, even though they've added a couple of guys. I don't think these signings, despite Conley, I think, being a contributor, I don't think any of these signings should stop them from any draft plan that they had set up before. Therefore, if they wanted to take TJ Hawkinson at seven, I don't think Jeff Swaim changes that whatsoever. If they wanted to take Juwan Taylor at seven, I don't think Cedric Obwehi would change that. If they wanted to take DK Metcalf at seven, which I don't think they would want to do, I think they're relatively happy with their receiver room. Caldwell said it, that he thought they were, but I think Conley or some veteran was needed. With Marquise Lee, you don't know what you're getting from his injury. Keelan Cole had a bad year, but you've got potential in DJ Chark. You got D.D. Westbrook, who really broke out last year, and now they've got Conley in the fold. I don't think that puts them in a position to take a receiver at seventh. I do think they'll still draft one at some point, and I'm sure it'll happen. I would say that they probably have a goal of doing it before round five, because there's going to be a lot of guys in the day two, day three range that could provide a lot of value. And maybe a guy that kind of fits the slot mold, like D.D. a bit, or playing the flanker side, not as much like a one-on-one guy like Chark or what Conley might be able to do, but more of a true possession guy as depth with some speed and technique later on, rather than trying to land a home run threat like DK Metcalf, because I do think they view Chark in that light, and I would consider tight end, right tackle, and quite honestly, even change of pace, pass catching, pass blocking, running back, as more of a need than adding a receiver early at this point, just from what they've built around. So we'll see. I think they could go one way or another with tackle or tight end, but we don't know yet. We got a lot of time to figure that out. I just don't see them going defense. That's definitely like what I'm going to stick with, is that they won't go defense at seventh overall. If they do, I think that's a waste. These guys should not, the signings they made today should not stop them from going offense at seventh overall. They don't move the needle that much. Coming from Anti-DVA, so offensive tackle and wide receiver signing today. Maybe a quarterback at seventh still possible. As much as I'd love for them to, you know, get a guy for the future in Dwayne Haskins with the out that's in Foles' contract essentially after the 2020 season, they just dedicated themselves to Foles. They've treated him like the franchise guy. He's coming into here to be it. So I don't see them doing that, because typically when you draft that rookie quarterback early, even with a vet in-house, it's typically within a year that that rookie replaces them. So imagine drafting Dwayne Haskins and replacing Nick Foles with Haskins midway through the season. Whether it's a talent upgrade or not, like, that's a huge waste of money at that point on Foles. Probably could cause some tension. Like, we just dedicated ourselves in the franchise to Nick Foles, the most amount of guaranteed money we've ever handed out in a contract ever. And now we're drafting a guy that will eventually replace him. Like, I think that would cause some tension that they might not want at this point while they try and reset and try and get back to contending as soon as they can. I'd obviously be all over Haskins. I've said that before, but I think they're going to try and build around Foles, draft a project backup later on. If Will Grier falls to round three, I think that could definitely be an option, because I think they do have their eyes on him a good bit. Saw him meet with a higher level scout at the Senior Bowl after he'd already met with them before. So just something to keep in mind. That doesn't necessarily guarantee anything. Just, you know, little tidbits of information here and there to keep in mind for later on. But no, I would say they probably will not go quarterback at seventh overall. It'd be cool to land Haskins, especially if he's there, but I just don't see it happening. From Camber Pramuka, how do you see the first three rounds of the draft playing out after these signings? I think before round two is over, they'll have a new offensive lineman and a new tight end in-house. I don't know which one will come first. Could be Juwan Taylor and a guy like Irv Smith in the second round. It could be TJ Hawkinson and a guard like Chris Lindstrom, or if Dalton Risner falls. There's going to be some quality guys, maybe Drew Samia out of Oklahoma. I don't know which way it'll go, but I think it will be those two positions in the first two rounds. Then with their two third-round picks, I'm not doing any trade-back scenarios. I think that's possible, but I'm not going to do that as of now. They got two third-round picks. Maybe they'll go quarterback there. Like I said, if Greer's there, I think that could be an option as a backup to get Cody Kessler and Tanner Lee out of here. And maybe either receiver, running back, or it's harder to project at this point, but receiver, running back, or finally starting to look at some defensive depth. Since they've spent this entire free agency on offense, I do think they'll want to go defense in this draft. I don't think it'll go all seven picks offensive players at this point. They do need to add some depth, a rotating pass rusher, stuff like that. So maybe third round is when we finally see a domino fall like that. The depth of this defensive class is crazy, so they'll still land a talented player at that point. Maybe you finally get a receiver like a Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State. Maybe you get a running back, a true change of pace guy to come in. I love Devin Singletary, but I don't know if they'll want to. He's not got the size to really compete as a pass blocker in today's NFL. I think he can catch out of the backfield, and I think he tries to pass block, but I don't think you're going to see a ton of success with it at the NFL level. But dude's a really fun runner, and I would love him here. Maybe Daryl Henderson, or more of a true receiving back if it lands into the fourth round, like James Williams out of Washington State's a really fun player. It gets harder to project. I feel pretty confident about tight end, offensive line in the first two rounds in some order. Then your options open up a little bit once you get to the third round with the way they've played free agency at this point. I just don't think any of the moves other than quarterback will stop them from drafting the same position high at this point. Tight end or offensive line. Receiver, I think, was already preset. Other than adding Conley was a nice bonus, so I don't think they'd do that. But tight end or offensive line, they didn't make the moves as of now to ensure that that position is good and stop them from going early. So we'll see. We got about a month until the draft comes around, and we're going to be doing a lot of projecting, a lot of breakdowns and stuff here at Locked On Jaguars. So make sure to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes and anywhere you can listen to podcasts, as well as check out the website, LockedOnJaguars.com. We'll catch up with you guys next time.